Okay, so I'm from Uppsala in Sweden, and my co-workers here are from Germany and Denmark, and we have been working on putting grid computing into Debian. So, what is grid computing? Normally when I make a presentation, this is sort of, everyone knows this, but this is not that kind of firm, so I will quickly tell you about it. It's a way to get access to computing resources for users that need lots of computing power. And it's a way to get the same interface to a lot of different computing resources so that you don't have to learn the little extra local policies on every computing site you want to use. So from a user point of view, it's sort of an analogy to the power grid, where when you plug in your computer or your lamp or whatever to the power outlet, you don't care where the electricity comes from unless you want to. It's the same thing with a computing grid, that you prepare your task description of the computation you want to do, and you send it to the grid, and you don't really care which computer or which computing cluster does the calculation for you, as long as you get the result back. So, how does this grid computing differ from volunteer computing like Bonk and Safety at Home and stuff like that? It's a similar concept, but it's a bit different. The volunteer computing, you download a work unit and it's computed in the background of your on your desktop or your laptop, and it's sort of a background process, and you use sort of free cycles in that way, and there is also a Debian client package for these kinds of things. In the computation grid, it's really the computation, it's heavy computation. It's not something that you would normally consider doing as a background process in someone's screensaver. So it's a big compute cluster that's wait for arbitrary big computing tasks. And there hasn't been any packages in the Linux distribution for these kinds of applications before. And for example, the high energy physics experiments that collect a lot of data from the Large Hadron Collider at CERN use these kind of computing grids a lot to do their calculations and the data analysis. So, of course, if a compute center or a big provider of computing resources will let you in, they will have to trust you, and you will have to trust them if you are a user, that the data you give them to process, that it doesn't go away to your competitor or whatever. So you need to have a network of trust. And in this grid computing world, the trust is based on X509 certificates, which is a standard PKI technology. There are certification or authorities that issues these certificates and guarantees the identities of the users, and they have acceptable user policies and things like that. And what's a bit special in the grid world is that users sort of create a short-lived certificate that they sign with their own certificate, and then they use this short-lived certificate to delegate their rights to the computing facility that is going to do job in their name. And by having this short-lived certificate, you sort of limit the amount of damage someone could do if they sort of hijack this certificate it's a safety feature. Of course, if I have a certificate from some certification agency and I want to use some computing facility that's authorized by some other certification authority, there must be some mutual trust. And there is an International Grid Trust Federation that sort of has, and where CEA is a member. And if you, and I can sort of, if I have a user certificate from one of these CEAs, I can authenticate against a computing site that has a certificate from one of the other CEAs. Of course, it's not only about authentication, you also have to have authorization, and these are couple things but not the same thing. They can believe that I am me, but it might not be me anyway. So if you have big computing needs in a, for example, a scientific experiment, then the members of these experiments sort of form what we call the virtual organization, which is sort of connects people from different real organization into some kind of community. And these virtual organizations can then negotiate access to computing resources on behalf of their members, so that these clusters can then delegate the decision on which users to let into these virtual organizations. The easiest sort of way to distribute this would be to just have a web page with the certificate names of the members of this virtual organization, and then this server should be secure, so only the sort of manager of the VO can change it. There are also other more elaborate things like virtual organization membership services that can divide the members into different groups and different capabilities. So there might be some members in the organization that are sort of manager of computing production and have higher priority than normal users that only do the private little analysis. So a typical usage of grid technology is, of course, the submission of the jobs. And the job should then be described in a sort of standardized manner. And there are a few different ways to do this, but they all sort of say, I want to run this program with these parameters, with these input files, and I want to have these output files, and this job requires so much memory and so much disk, and it requires to have these sets of software installed on the computer where the job is supposed to run, and all of these sort of requirements should then be given in your job description, and then there is a sort of matchmaking between the available clusters and the requirements you set up in your job description, so that it will send it to a cluster with either free CPU, so the shortest queue, which have resources that match your job description. You also need to, once you have sent the job, you want to know what is the status of the job, if it's queuing or running or has finished, and you also might want to query the status of clusters if there are clusters that have the software installed that you need, or if there are clusters that have the amount of memory that you want to use, and these kinds of stuff. And then once the job has finished, you should be able to retrieve the result. And you can also specify in the job description that the results of this job should be uploaded to some storage server somewhere when the job has finished, so that I as a user don't have to bother about that myself. And if you like a high energy physics experiment has lots of data, so there's a lot of data management going on here too. So the grid software should be able to keep track of large set of data files, both for input and output. So, of course, we as the one that are providing the grid middleware or the grid software that connects all these computing resources, we have some remaining challenges. One of them is, of course, to make the grid accessible to more users. There is still, since you need to apply for a certificate and have it signed by the CA and all these kinds of things, there is kind of a threshold to get started using these kinds of resources. There are some efforts going on to be able to transform some local policies that you have either at your place of work or your place of study into some grid credentials in some automatic way. But this is a bit more future development. There's also a need to make the system a bit more flexible to be able to move jobs around between clusters if either a cluster suddenly appears or some cluster announces that we will go down in 3 days for maintenance and we didn't know this before, then you might want to move the jobs you had there away. And also the preparation of these sets of software that you require in your jobs. If you have, for example, a set of requirements that can be expressed in, I need these and these and these and these packages installed on my cluster, then there might be a way to automatically install these packages for you on some cluster and then send your job there, and not just only use the ones where all the software is already pre-installed. And then, of course, we want to increase the awareness of the grid computing. The universities and research groups are, of course, and other academic institutions are sort of the main users at the moment. There are some industrial use, though mainly in industries that have close research ties with the universities, but there are efforts to sort of get into the bigger players. And then, of course, there are this sort of standard computing geeks, like the computer clubs and presentations like this, that we want to spread the word around. So, what do we use when we build our grids? There are several grid projects around that are sort of similar or use similar ideas. The first and the oldest one is Globus. It's an American academic project. It has a grid software, a grid middleware that can be used standalone, but it has kind of a limited functionality. But it has a lot of libraries and functionalities that are used by other grid projects. Unicore is something slightly different. It's sort of a mixture of the grid infrastructure and the grid software, because they also sort of provide the computing resources and not only the software. And then we have the EGEE, which is enabling grid and e-science in Europe or something like that. It's one of these European Union project acronyms. They have provide a grid mineral well called GLACT, which is built on top of the Globus libraries. And then we have Nordgrid, which where I come from, which also have a grid middleware that can be used to connect different clusters, and we have the option to build this either with support for using the Globus libraries or not. It in order to be sort of compatible with the sort of standards and the protocols used by other the other middlewares, you need the Globus part, so you can't really get rid of the Globus dependency. So Globus, which in a more detail, as I said, it's a set of libraries and tools used by a lot of grid projects. The most important parts are the global security infrastructure, which is the handling of these X509 certificates and creating of these short proxy certificates and the delegation mechanism of your rights to the cluster. This is also now standardized as an RFC. And then there is the grid FTP protocol, which is extensions to the FTP protocol to support this security infrastructure so that you can authenticate yourself with the help of proxy certificates. It also has extensions for third-party transfers, multiple data channels, partial file transfers, and a lot of other things that the standard FTP protocol does not have. The latest definition of the grid FTP protocol, which is sort of built on top of some RFCs and with some extensions, are in a global grid forum proposed recommendation. The global grid forum is the body that sort of tries to standardize protocols and services used by different grid processes to make the different projects interoperable with, between each other. So it's a standardization effort in the grid computing world. So what we have done is that we have packaged part of the Globus toolkit into Debian packages. And the Globus toolkit is a big set of source code. It comes in one big tarball, which contains a bit something like 300 packages. We have now made Debian packages for something like 30 of these, and not all of them at once. These 30 are the ones that handle these global security infrastructure and the grid FTP mainly, and some others. But it's the core part that we have sort of packaged. We decided not to make one big Globus package, but instead make one package for each of the Globus packages. This means that there is the consistency between the packages as Globus defines them in their way and the way the Debian packages are defined, so that there is correspondence between the packages so that you can tell which package comes from where and not everything is in one big source package. The Globus toolkit uses something that's called the grid packaging toolkit to build the software. So the first package is the grid packaging toolkit, which is essentially is a set of automate rules that are used to build all the other packages. the patches that we have created to make the Globus installed nightly into USR and then follow the file system standards and all these kind of things. We have communicated upstream to the Globus Alliance that are managing the Globus source code, and most of the patches have been accepted and some are still pending. And they have been quite friendly when it comes to accepting the patches and talking to us. This big tar file of sources that comes with Globus contains some copies of source code of things that are already in the distribution, like OpenSSL, OpenLDAP, and the lead to dynamic loader, which we don't want to duplicate. So these redundant things we do not package instead, but instead we do sort of glue packages that provide the GPT metadata for these packages, but then use the system versions to build. So these are kind of small packages that sort of adds the glue to make the GPT be able to use the system versions instead of sort of copying the full library like the Globus build does. The first packages have been uploaded to the Debian new queue, and we have also done similar packages for Fedora that we have submitted to the Fedora distribution. So I already mentioned that we started the package for the grid packaging toolkit. All the Globus packages, since they are built on GPT, have this XML file that describes the package. So we have, as a starting point for the Debian packages, we have a script that extracts this metadata information from used by GPT to sort of create the first version of all the files in the Debian catalog, so that we can start from there and then sort of add the extra things like the package description and putting in the patches. But most of the sort of this package depends on that package and are automatically put into the right file by taking the information from the GPT metadata file. So the next step, of course, since we are come from the Nordigrid side and we also would like to make our higher levels grid software into the distributions. So Nordigrid's grid software is called the Advanced Resource Connector, or ARC. And this, of course, since this is built on top of Globus, it's sort of a next step. We haven't sort of submitted these to Debian yet. The Globus packages should be accepted first. But the ARC middleware is heavily used in the Nordic countries and some other places as well, especially by the Nordic Data Grid Facility, which connects computing resources from academic computing centers in the Nordic countries and, well, some other countries as well, like Switzerland and Slovenia. And we provide a tier one center for the experiments at the Large Hadron Collider, CERN. So it provides around 10% of the computing power for the Atlas experiments at LHC, for example. But the Nordic Data Grid Facility also provides computing resources for other research communities that have similar computing needs, like bioinformatics and quantum chemistry.
Just one from the
Yes, yeah, okay, it's, well, NDGF also has storage, because the high energy physics experiments create a lot of data, and they need to store that, and, but also do calculation on it, so it provides both storage, data management, and computing. So this is a monitor of the, or a snapshot of the monitor of the resources connected using ARC. Well, it's the top half of it, since, okay, so it's in alphabetical order, so it should go a bit longer. There are, as you can see, resources in different countries, and you can see the usage. This monitor, since not all the resources are exclusively used by grid users, there can also be local users, so the sort of gray jobs are local jobs, and then green jobs are grid jobs. And you can see the current state of this monitor if you go to the NordoGrid website at www.nordogrid.org/monitor. So the packaging of ARC, we have packages available from our website. The current version or production version is the 0.6 branch. This contains quite a lot on Globus packages, and it also, as I mentioned, in order to, this is the next step, if you want to include this in Debian, the Globus packages that we have as dependencies to go in first. The new ongoing development is the version 1. This is slightly less dependent on Globus, since it uses for example, a newer version of OpenSSL has support for proxy certificates natively, so you don't need any add-ons for that. But for example, if you want to do grid FTP, you still need the Globus packages, even in the new version. In the version 1, we also implement more of these interoperability and standardization efforts that have been going on in the Global Grid Forum. So it's more interoperable with other grid solutions. So implications for Debian. It makes it possible to for Debian users to connect to grid resources that use the Globus toolkit, and maybe even ARC in the future. And it also increases the connectivity to computing clusters that provide these resources at computing centers. It could also be used within the Debian society to sort of not only share the packaging, but also maybe share the resources. And of course, as I mentioned, a way to sort of, if the job description says I have these software requirements, if this could be expressed in terms of which Debian packages I need to have installed, then this is one way to describe the runtime environment that you need in your job description. So, I would like to thank some projects like the NOARC project, which is It's a European Union Business Framework Program, and the NGF, and of course the developers of Globus, in particular Charles Bacon, that has been helpful when applying the patches, and of course the developers at Nordic Grid. There are some experimental installations of something that's called the janitor that will sort of automatically install additional packages as needed. It's not in the sort of base package yet, but there are ongoing work on that.
And the second question is there any interoperation with other patch schedulers and so on, for example, SunGrid and Debian already, or is that
Well, the batch schedulers are slightly on a different level.
Yeah.
Because the grid middleware talks to sort of each cluster as one entity. And then the cluster, when it accepts a job, it will sort of schedule it on its local resource management system,
which can be
a SunGrid engine or Torq or something else. So it's sort of...
Question is there any scheduler supported by Globus or NoArk, which is in Debian already? Can you use that? Or which schedulers do you have?
Arc has sort of back-end support for SunGrid engine, for Torq, for... load leveler for Slurm for quite a lot of them. Yes. So it's supposed to be the ARC is supposed to be sort of non-invasive for the cluster administrator, so that it should not have to change the queuing system setup or whatever. It should sort of integrate seamlessly to that. It's a reasonable question, but the sort of local resource management on the cluster level is sort of one level below.
Are you aware of a system in Switzerland in CERN called Ethics?
Yes.
All right. Have you been in touch with them to actually include your build system with the other ones?
We have talked to them and we have had several meetings with them, and there are some ongoing explorations in this area, but there hasn't really been any final decisions yet. But we're talking to these people.